Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Timothy Gay writes about golf. We're going to preview the Ryder Cup with him at the bottom part of the hour. Before we do that, let's get into the list. Ja Morant. All right, Herd, we are continuing the ESPN series of NBA Ranked 2025. We've gotten to players 50 through 11. Previously, the Grizzlies had Zach Edey in the list at 88. We now have two Grizzlies and one former Grizzly that have entered into the discussion. Desmond Bane checks in at 39. Ja Morant checks in at 33. In last year's, he was at 20. And Jaren Jackson Jr. moves up from 55 in last year's to 31. So my first question for you, am I insane in thinking like this is wildly insulting to Ja?
No, that's what I was saying off air. Now, if you look at it in the bubble, us having three top 80 guys are good. We potentially would have had three top 40.
Correct. top 39, top 40. Yeah.
You know, you sound like radio, like
top 40 hits. Yeah.
Yeah. You know he's a real Grizzly fan when he tries to say top 39. Just say
yes.
Top.
Got to make this, you gotta sound as, this man, don't tell the story. Tell your story.
So, I like where Jaren at. I would say, if you think he higher or lower, you're only talking about two, three spots. So it's worth respecting it. But with Ja, I'm going to say I would have to at least cut that in half. I still think Ja Morant is like a top 15 player. I even thought 23 was too low last year, right? So, and if he had his best, he even can move further. But, yeah, I do think maybe certain people waiting for him to just kill it one more time, coming back fresh, you know, off a good offseason, staying, you know, as healthy as possible and continue to be aggressive and consistent. But, yeah, I kind of, Jeff, think he's – I could be a little naive from being in Memphis but I think he's like a top 15 player still.
So here's what Tim McMahon wrote. Morant will probably perceive this ranking as a slight, which I will be fine. Honestly, I'm totally fine with him being ranked here because, A, I don't think it matters at all, but, B, anything that gives Ja a slight, I'm good with. But he hasn't been an all-star since the 22-23 season and has only played a part of one playoff series and has only been a part of one playoff series win in his career. Morant's points per game at 23.2, field goal percentage at 45.4 last season were his lowest since his second season in the NBA. Tim also notes, in fairness, Morant played most of the season in an offensive system that didn't cater to his strengths. It shouldn't be a surprise if Morant has a bounce-back season with Tuomas Ysolo, who has been known for his creative pick and roll scheme in Europe in his first full season as Memphis's coach. My whole thing with the Grizzlies is so much of my view of this season is clouded by the fact that they're not going to have Edey to start the year. And it's not because I'm leading the Edey bandwagon, but it's primarily because they don't have someone behind him that can even replicate what he does. Like, they're trying to bring in Jock Landale, but it's like you can envision a world where Jock Landale plays the games and starts the games without Edie, and then by the time Edie comes back, he's out of the rotation. Like, that's entirely possible. But, like, I do think this team got more athletic and longer on the wing, which they had to do. I thought they were way too small at times. They have added way more depth than they've had the last two seasons. I actually think they would be, with Edie and healthy Edie, I think they would be in the mix for the team that's going to get smoked by the Thunder. Like, so whoever the second best team in the West winds up being. Like, last year it's the Rockets, but, like, I think they could be there in that mix with the Rockets, the Nuggets. I think we got to say the Clippers, although I think the Clippers thing's weird with the whole, like, how does this Kawhi situation impact them? It seems like the league's not going to try to do anything until, like, their hand is forced. And so how long does that take? Does that loom? But then, like, you've still got, like, the Timberwolves had to pay some guys, so, like, they had to let guys walk. Then Kyrie comes back? Are they saying All-Star break? So basically, what, two-thirds of the season for the Mavs without Kyrie? But, like, the Mavs could clearly be a credible team. You got to think the Spurs, if Wembanyama is healthy, like, they're going to be significantly better. But, like, I thought they could be in that mix where you'd realize, like, okay, this team had a collapse last year, but they weren't really that bad. Like, maybe they weren't the second-best team in the West, but they weren't the team that they were the last 20 games of the season. But the problem is with no Edie, like, you're going to see, like, they'll struggle to rebound. They'll struggle to get stops. Like, that was the whole thing with when everyone was going nuts about Edie in the postseason, I was just screaming from the rooftops, they can't get a stop without him because they couldn't rebound. And so the fact that he's not in there, though, like, that could be 20 to 25 games. And, man, when you're talking about races that, like, last year, the difference between the Grizzlies being eighth and then the Grizzlies being, like, third was, like, two games. And so if you're starting behind the eight ball, and then the other biggest question is, like, what is the reality of how many games can you actually get from Ja? Because I do agree with you. I think when he plays, like, to me, like, that was the biggest positive of the series against the Thunder was, yeah, it wasn't like an extended period of time, but there were multiple games where I'm sitting there going, he's still the best player on the floor. And to me, I just think playoff basketball is different. But I also acknowledge one of the problems that you're going to have is, like, what's the most you can expect? 65 games? 70?
Well, we always say, I know since I've been on the air with you, Jeffrey, I think it didn't hit over a year. We would always say, and I don't know if you remember takes like this, that you said, as long as you can get 65 games, you thought that would be really good.
If you offered me 65 right now, I would sign blood.
Yeah. I remember.
I'm dead serious. That would be basically the most games he's played since his second year.
Yeah, and 65 is good. And then 65 is also the number you even got to play right to get all your awards. I think 65 is fair. When you say all those stats to me, All-Star not since 20, I can see if a person looking at it from that standpoint, I can see them doing that ranking. That's almost like what's this new thing? What's the thing in basketball everybody look at now, Jeffrey? What's the word?
The PER? What are you talking about? The software?
No, when you like trying to evaluate a player right now or try to pay a player, you're looking at
Is there a basketball version of WAR?
Well, isn't that PER?
Is that PER?
Player efficiency rating?
Yeah, but what's the word now that they use to try to do
a win share?
They do everything now. I think about it.
Net rating?
No, I think about it. The word that they when we're trying to evaluate a player, they sit down and put their statistics. What are they called statistics now? Back in our days, we used to just do it. It's a word. Analytics.
Oh, yeah.
Analytics. Sorry, yeah. My bad. I tell you, my brain go crazy. So with the analytics, I feel like they made the ranking off of that. I believe in analytics, but you have GMs and certain people that only base stuff. It has taken over the game, and it's very good. But, Jeff, this is why I have a small pushback at what it is. I'm one of those guys. Parents send me stats all the time. I go watch basketball.
Yes.
I still do old school evaluate.
It was my whole, and you're going to get mad at me, but it was my whole argument last year of why I was totally fine. Josh Allen won the MVP and Lamar didn't.
Yeah.
When you watch Josh play, you're like, he has nothing around him. I'll say this. They have a good offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, in terms of weapons, he had nothing around him. And it's like, I didn't care if he had the game where he threw for 175 yards. He didn't miss a throw.
So, for people who don't know it on air, I don't know if you know this yet, Jeff. Me and Brad, we know the top four quarterbacks is Mahomes, Josh, Lamar, and
it's Burrow. We've had to have a real hard conversation.
Yeah, so we are
about Burrow because my dude's got to stay on the field.
He got to. So them are four, and we switch them outside of help. But I think it's clear to say that I'm more Lamar and Jeff is more mm-hmm. Josh. So we text each other every time.
How was that fourth down fumble on Monday night? yet again, nobody's giving him any help. He had three balls that should have been picked.
So we have.
The Lions have so many DBs that can't catch. And you're just like, yep, that's why you're over there.
I'm going to say this. Josh Allen is doing great. Your boy doing great. Now, Lamar still deserved MVP. I mean, he had history stats. But on the basketball.
I think it was still better for him to not win.
Might have been. On the basketball side, if you take analytics out of it and watch pure sports, Ja Morant, when playing healthy, is still a top 15 player.
Yes.
And I take it to another level. I know now I'm going too out of bounds with this, but because I'm with Nike and I see so much other stuff and I'm around kids, the leverage he has, the what he put on the game and the world.
China tour.
Yeah, that's like top five action. So I'm going to say this. I know Nike don't have him ranked as the third best player in the NBA because I think I would know how they would treat a top 33 player. And you know what I mean? And I think he might be their number one signature athlete. And Nike, I'm going to say this. You know,
I guess you could make the argument, though, that's also star power.
Yeah.
Because it's weird. Like, you can make the argument that Ja and Tatum are kind of the polar opposites, mm-hmm. where Tatum, until the Achilles, like, Tatum's pretty durable. Like, it's my whole thing of, like, when you have you're paying Tatum and you're paying Brown, like, they play, man. Like, they both play 70, 75 games. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what you're paying for to a certain degree, but it's like, Tatum's just never going to. He's never going to make you feel anything when he plays basketball. You can recognize, man, this guy really doesn't have many weaknesses, and you can understand that he's an awesome player, but his game is never going to make you feel like that's something I've never seen before, when Ja's the polar opposite of that.
No, because like you say, Ja actually have...
He made layups cool.
Yeah, he have that... Ja have a certain swag, too. They love Kyrie Irving a lot, too. Ja even is a little, you know... Got some flash to him. He got certain stuff even off the court. Where, you know, Jason Tatum, I never have seen him with a nice chain or grill. These kids love that type of stuff, you know, because everybody's into, you know, music and sports and entertainment. And Ja just naturally has a good – that's like Devin Booker. Like, people love his game, but a lot of kids don't really – they like his shoes now, but they don't really talk about him and Jason Tatum like they do, like a Ja Morant – Anthony Edwards, are like the two guys that are like the most gravitating right now.
Yeah.
You know, and so I hope 33 motivates Ja. I hope he come back and have a really, really healthy year. And I hope he do great things. But I still think 33 is a little too low.
All right. Revenue share. Okay, so GP and Norlander are going through their candid coaches series. And I wanted to get your thoughts on this because you know a little bit more behind the scenes. Okay. So they asked the question of the coaches that they polled, what percentage of your school's revenue cap should go to men's basketball? And for the record, they recognized there was going to be different answers for coaches that had football and coaches that didn't have football teams. So this actually caught me a little bit by surprise, but you tell me if you think this vibes. Now, it's also important to note, you're asking coaches what they think they should have. This is not... Hey, what is your rev share? That's a different question. The largest chunk of respondents for schools with FBS football programs, 56% said between 25 and 30% of the rev share. 35% said between 15 and 20, and 9% said 30 and 40. Okay, so that is like the ultimate, you can't get it if you don't ask.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I still thought, 25-30 was a little bit higher than the percentage that I've been hearing. So, like, I'm setting aside the Kentuckys and the Kansases of the world that are clearly going to, they're going to prioritize basketball in a way that the other schools might not. But I was hearing mostly, the numbers I keep hearing is like, it's around 15-20% for most of the big, like, SEC and Big Ten schools, with the exception of, like, I'm sure Purdue's basketball team is getting way more money, a higher percentage. But if you're an AD, how are you divvying it out?
So from what I'm hearing, Jeffrey, I don't have the numbers in front of me. Power Four schools was like, I think 15% football was, when, I mean,
15% for basketball, yeah.
Yeah, men's basketball. What was football? Was it 70?
I've been hearing between 75 and 80, and then with some schools maybe even higher.
So let's say 75.
Like, I would imagine part of our boy Leonard Hamilton stepping down was they said, we're getting this football thing fixed, Leonard, and there's not going to be that much for basketball.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if you say 75, 15 for men, it's 90, 10% for the rest.
Yep.
So for them to almost double it and say 25. Now, I ain't going to lie, if I'm an SEC basketball team, they're bringing in some studs right now. So to keep it up and be the best conference in the world in history like they did last year and everybody have pros, they might need about 25%. But it's one of them things. I'm not shocked because if they ask any of us in here or most listeners, if your boss or somebody come to you and say, what do you think you worth? I'm sure we all think we worth or probably are a lot more than what we probably.
I would venture to guess. Like, here's the easy, like, what I've always said, like, if the only way I think to truly determine if you're, like, underpaid is, like, all right, go work for yourself because you're paying yourself. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you, whatever, like, that's the difference. But I would say almost every person on the planet thinks they're underpaid.
Except probably, like I say, super high millionaires or billionaires.
And I bet they still think they're underpaid.
So you think somebody like Beyonce, Jay-Z, this billionaire.
Oh, yeah, they think they're underpaid.
Donald Trump.
I mean, yeah.
What about the guy that owned the Clippers? I know he don't think he's underpaid.
So I guess you have to make the argument because he's still technically not working. So, like, all of his money is in investments and then the money that he made from being the CEO of Microsoft. But, yeah, I would venture to guess, like, even, like, LeBron even thinks he's underpaid. And I think there's a legitimate argument that LeBron is underpaid because there's a salary cap.
Because of the market.
Correct.
Like, even, I think we talked about this, Stephen A. Smith, although making the money he make, some people feel like because of his market,
yeah,
he is underpaid because there's some people who make more than him that might only do, like Tom Brady might only do just football.
Well, you use Coward as an example. Somebody that also does, that's in the same space. Cowherd works significantly fewer events than Stephen A. does.
And what
Stephen A. on Monday Night Countdown the other night.
He's everywhere.
That's what they're paying him for.
Yeah, yeah. So I just think them basketball coaches, of course, they won't want more money to keep it going. So it is a little shocking the number that high. But if you understand people, then you kind of get it. Now, whoever said 40 to 50, now that is crazy if you're at an SEC or Big Ten school.
Yeah, I think this is the thing I'm watching going forward because you and I talked about there was this mad rush this year, particularly in basketball. Everyone was using, and maybe it was the agents, maybe it was the players like having some leverage, but everyone was using, we have to get deals done before the house settlement goes through because they'll be grandfathered in. So basically, hey, we got to get this done now because you can have a deal that won't count. Like it won't be scrutinized. And so there was this mad rush like at the end of the season, like the final four for basically like 2 or 3 weeks. And I do think that drove, I think most of these teams are going to be overinflated right now. But there's also the reality of, like, guys, well, like, when the price goes up, that kind of just becomes the price. Now, if they can get back some good old-fashioned colluding and, like, being like, they all collectively agree to not pay that, that will never happen, in my opinion, because there's always going to be someone that's super competitive and, like, yeah, I'm going to pay it. But I am curious to see if the price stays up and it keeps going up. I think a lot of these schools are going to start to have way more internal battles between football and basketball because the coaches that are winning are going to be like, hey, man, like this is the price of doing business. Is this, you know, this is what it costs. And then everyone's going to sit there and go, well, like our football team's bad, so we got to kind of like fix that. That's where I'm very curious to see like if these numbers stay the way they are, because I think a lot of schools are going to have to decide like, are we spending in both? Because I don't know if we can.
Yeah, I was about to say that. And Jeffrey, how many players do an average football team have on it?
So
in college,
like a right now. So they've changed the numbers. Let's view it in these terms. How many guys do I think are getting paid on a team?
I was going to ask you that.
On the good teams, I'm going to say between 50 and 60.
There's still a lot of people to pay.
Now, obviously, some are paid more than others, but that's roughly what I'm thinking on like the really good teams.
That's a lot of people to pay, 50 to 60 people. Okay, so that's what I want. I thought you was going to say maybe, I know you got the 22 stars, you got some back. I was thinking more 35,
well, you
got to
think about like these teams, like, these terms. In the SEC, every starter's getting paid.
So that's 22 people.
You're probably paying your kickers.
Not crazy, right? NFL don't even pay them crazy. Mm-hmm. It's only like 2-3 to get paid.
Everybody needs a kicker in college.
For sure.
Not that many good ones. They make more money than you think. All right, then you're going to pay most of your high school guys. So 15 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably paying, it's 22, but like think about how many guys like are really playing, probably 35. You know what I mean? Like in terms of D-line rotation, DB rotation, 35, and then you're probably paying your high school guys. So I'm thinking it's somewhere around 50.
Okay. Okay.
And in basketball, I mean, what? If you got 15 on the roster, what? 10?
Yeah, 9, 10. Because the only thing them last 3-4 are, they're still, they can't call it that no more, but they kind of walk on.
No, and it's, hey, keep our APR up. Yeah. Let me tell you, if you're one of those guys, you better be going to class. Like that's
yeah. You see one of them guys,
young man. That's what you're here for.
You see one of them guys at the party with the stars. You let them know, hey, no
that's
matter how messed up you get,
yep.
You know you got to be at class in the morning. Like you might want to go.
Coach K's grandson. Remember when Paolo was clearly driving the SUV and got the DUI, and Coach K's grandson had to hop into the front seat.
That's
what he's there for.
Yeah, yeah.
Those guys are there for school. They're not there for sports.
Yeah. They're also there to be fall guys.
That's allegedly there.
Totally. All right, Coach. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That
Take
is
care.
Coach Norton Hurd of Team Thad. When we come back, Timothy Gay joins us. Ryder Cup. We got the opening ceremonies going on right now. Let's preview it when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM. Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
ESPN. Timothy Gay is a Pulitzer-nominated author. His latest book, Roryland, the up and down world of golf's global icon, is available now wherever you find your books. Tim, kind enough to join us and preview the Ryder Cup. All right, Tim, it's obviously, I don't know if you go through the same struggle that I do when your favorite player's on the other team, but
yep.
This is the first question that I have. Did we pick the wrong golf course for the team that we had to pick with the U.S.?
You know, that is a really good question, Jeffrey, and we won't know the answer until Sunday night, will we? But there are a lot of people who think maybe not the Bethpage Black wasn't the best possible venue for our guys. But we'll find out. It is a beautiful. I was there for the PGA a few years back when Koepka won it, and it's a gorgeous and very tough test of golf.
Okay, so then let's get to the next big question. Should Keegan have picked himself?
No. There's the media demands, the social demands, everything about the Ryder Cup is so intensive. It's changed so completely since Arnold Palmer was a playing captain two generations ago. Barely any media covering it all. Arnold had all kinds of time, all kinds of latitude to work directly with his people. If Keegan had put himself on the roster, he would have just had too much on his plate. He made the right call.
How serious do you think he thought about it? Because I started wondering, are they just playing it up? Because I think in the end, he made what I viewed was the inevitable decision. But how close do you think it got?
I think it was pretty serious. I mean, take a look at his spring and summer was pretty damn impressive, Jeff. I mean, he really played well. And his game just came together. So it was not an easy decision, but he made the correct one. Just too tough to be both player and captain in today's Ryder Cup.
Okay, so let's go through a couple of the other things that we're interested about. Number one, does Bryson pay bots for his YouTube channel? Brandel's been cooking on Live From. Like, I know Brandel rubs people the wrong way. He's good for the space because say what you want, he gets you thinking.
Oh, yeah. He definitely gets you thinking. And look, DeChambeau is a tough, almost radioactive guy in a Ryder Cup setting. And that's going to be some tough decisions for Keegan to make. You know, you got to send Brandel out there, but he's got to be paired right there with the right guy because not everybody is going to be able to handle DeChambeau. So I think, you know, Chambly sort of, you know, throwing fuel on the fire is not making Keegan's job any easier. And it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out on Friday and Saturday.
I was trying to remember, who did we pair him with at Whistling?
I don't recall offhand, but I can tell you it worked because just about everything worked for the Americans at Whistling Straits. Bradley would love to replicate that same sense of momentum that they had in Wisconsin 4 years ago.
Okay, so on Friday, let's see, did we start with foursomes? So on Friday, we paired him with Scotty.
Okay.
But I believe that was also they were both playing their own ball? Because, like, that's my big question with Bryson. I think
that's
this
correct.
Is as much as I cannot stand him, I do think he's one of the four best Americans.
Oh,
and so, like,
no doubt.
Like, at a certain point, it's like, okay, you're hurting the team if you don't put him on the golf course.
Yep.
But I don't know if I want him playing alt shot, because it just feels like he knows his game, or, hey, I can just go hit it and find it. And but, like,
right.
It feels like it takes a certain guy with patience to play with him.
Well, that's right, and that's what got Phil Mickelson crosswise with Watson back in 2014 at Glen Eagles, was that Mickelson just, you know, played his own game, and his partner, ironically, was Keegan Bradley that day in the foursomes, and they had all kinds of trouble in that afternoon round, and that was it for Phil. Remember, he got benched all of Saturday.
Oh, do you take it that way? I didn't mean that. I'm sorry you took it that way. It's like, well, what did you mean, Phil?
Yeah, I mean, Watson had to pull up in his cart, and according to several ear witnesses, said in rather salty language, Phil, when are you going to hit it in the fairway so Keegan's got a decent shot here? You know, it's craziness.
All right, so then the other question becomes, is, in your mind, is the home field advantage, the playing, you know, playing on your country, is it as big of an advantage as it has seemingly felt the last, you know, 10 Ryder Cups?
Man, it sure seems that way. I mean, the last time it happened, you know, team winning on foreign soil was 2012, which you'll recall.
One of the worst sporting events of my life.
Wild ride at Medina. It never would have happened.
Chauffeured by Erica.
Right. Well, no.
She was riding front seat with the cop car. I wouldn't at the time.
No.
I'm sorry. We had the official line as she wasn't there. Oh, yeah, of course. I want the cops tried for treason.
Film to prove it.
Uh-huh.
Go on YouTube, look at Steve Sands' stand-up for Golf Channel, and you will see, as Rory's car pulls up, you will see PGA Tour official, PGA of America, I should say.
Yes.
Official Erica Stoll there with her clipboard and her little file folder walking into the camera shot.
Okay.
So she was not there. So let's puncture that myth right away.
Okay. So we're taking the official Rory Company line, of course. I am serious. Though.
If you read the book, you know I haven't taken that.
For 5 years, I did want the cop tried for treason.
It's a fascinating thing. And the guy absolutely drove like a banshee.
Oh, yes.
Interstate 355. Must have averaged 120 miles an hour or something close to it, because he had to exit and go 10 miles west then on an Illinois highway. So it's amazing. He got Rory 19 miles in less than 15 minutes.
Just absolutely insane. Rory took like a 7 and an 8 iron. That was his warm up. Hit a couple of putts, then went and won the match.
No, he actually did not strike a ball other than a handful of putts in the warm up.
Yeah, this is why I'd never longer warm up. It's like, hey, if he can go do it, like, why would I waste great shots on the range?
And again, it was Keegan Bradley. Bradley's name keeps on coming up in these Ryder Cup soap operas. He never trailed. Rory never trailed in his match against Keegan that day. It's just an amazing. Testament to self-belief.
Does Keegan stand to gain the most?
With a win?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think he'd become a legendary captain. You know, the first in a long, long time to win on, to sort of beat back the Euros when the Euros seem to be playing at their best. Yeah, and Keegan is a terrific guy. Wish him nothing but the best. It's a thankless task. You don't get as much credit as you should when you win, and you get way too much blame when you lose.
No, I saw, I think Kevin Van Valkenburg wrote, I think he put it on Twitter, maybe might have been another writer. One of the guys that, you know, was during the period of time when we just felt like we just kept losing Ryder Cups, Curtis Strange took like all the brunt for losing. And then when you go back and you realize, hey, man, he got to Sunday singles with a lead and they won two matches. It's like, how's that on Curtis? Like,
right. Well, it was on Curtis because he didn't front load.
Yeah.
The Euros front loaded, and Curtis got sort of blindsided by that. So to that extent, but man, that's small. You got to play. And that it comes down, as you know, Jeffrey, it comes down to making 10-foot putts in the Ryder Cup. And too often, the Americans just come up short. And we have four rookies going out this weekend for the American team. Only one rookie, Rasmus Højgaard, for the Euros. And man, it is so rough to make those 8 and 10 footers to salvage par in team competition. And that's what it takes to win a Ryder Cup.
Can the Americans win if Scotty doesn't play well?
Boy, I was just thinking about that. We're telepathic, man. It's going to be very tough. I think he'll set the tone. I think they'll set him out early in singles on Sunday, and they're certainly counting on him. Look, he is such a better putter now than he was even 2 years ago that I think he's going to be okay making those clutch putts we were just talking about. But there are some other guys, you know, rookies. J.J. Spaun, is he going to be there? Morikawa, who's not been a good putter now for a couple of years running. You know, Ben Griffin's knees are going to be knocking every time he gets over a clutch putt. I mean, Russell Henley, too, as good a pure putter as Russell Henley is he going to be able to putt with Ryder Cup pressure? Man, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, because like that's the other thing I was thinking about. It's like in the end, this thing's usually determined by like if you think back in 2021, Dustin's our number one player. Dustin yep. goes and goes 5-0. Like yeah. Back in 23, I mean, remember what we sent Brooks with Scotty out, and they got beat like 10-9.
Yeah, It was just a snowball, and it just never got better after the afternoon round on Friday at Marco Simone. They just can't dig themselves a hole again.
Okay, this is the other question that I've seen frequently, and I'll let you explain it better. How is the payment system working out? Because, you know, forever, you know, if you even go back to 1999 for the audience,
yep.
Before the 99 Ryder Cup, which is remembered as a special Ryder Cup for what they did on Sunday, there was a lot of controversy going early in the week because David Duval, amongst others, wanted to get paid for the event. And honestly, it's one of those situations where I understand the point. When you look and you see and you know how much money this event makes, I can understand where the players are like, okay, I don't think it's insane that they should get paid. I also don't love the hey, I'm going to make it an issue when I get there, looking at you, Cantlay, looking at you, Xander. But we've now come to somewhat of a solution that everybody seems okay with. So how is it actually working out?
I would say poorly so far. It certainly hasn't been communicated well. It's as if Keegan Bradley and the American team did not anticipate the questions they were going to get about pay for play. Keegan wasn't ready for it, and they did not seem to have talking points that had been distributed to all the players. I mean, Scotty was saying one thing and Xander was saying another, and the only one who provided any detail about his philanthropic contributions with the $300,000, you know, they're going to be paid $500,000, $300,000 to charity, and $200,000 to be, you know, used hopefully for philanthropic purposes. But that has been sort of left a little amorphous here. The only guy is Patrick Cantlay, who has spelled out exactly what he's going to do with his charity contribution. Even Scotty fumbled the question yesterday. So far, not good. But there is, in my view, nothing wrong with compensating these guys for their time, especially if the money goes to good causes.
Yeah, no, I'm thankful. As much as I can't stand No Hat Pat after Marco Simone, he's giving money to St. Jude, so that shuts me up because St. Jude's obviously a wonderful institution here.
Absolutely, sure is.
Here in Memphis. But I think the other confusion that people had was the Europeans are also getting paid, correct? Like, everyone's getting paid the same way.
Yes, but it hasn't been the sort of big controversial issue in Europe than it's been in the United States. And somebody needs to clarify all of this. And both teams should be compensated, the players on both teams should be compensated equally. And it should, in my judgment, all go to good philanthropic causes and the players should speak to the wonderful causes that they're supporting.
Well, and also, most of these guys, like, I don't know how many people know the inner workings. The reason why they have these foundations is most of them have been started from either playing on the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup, where it wasn't direct pay into your bank account, but they would put the money
right
in a charitable foundation. So everybody started their own foundation. I'm with you, man. Like, it just seems like it'd be a layup. But the one thing that I've been noticing with golfers recently, who is running PR? Because I just feel like every time they start talking, it's like, guys, y'all do not realize how this comes across. And yeah, it's just almost like, to your point, it's like, how could you not anticipate that one question?
Yeah, and in the book, I take Rory to task for unduly creating all kinds of controversy with Liv when he should have backed off. He climbed out onto a limb and then sawed it off and hurt his own credibility, in my view, on Liv and on other issues over the years. And as savvy as Rory is with the media, and nobody is smoother or more charismatic than he is, he still creates all kinds of problems for himself unnecessarily. And you're absolutely right. Golf needs a PR overhaul. I don't know who was in charge of preparing Bradley and the U.S. team for questions on pay-for-play, but man, they did a bad job.
All right. Other than where the tournament's being played, how am I supposed to look at these two rosters and think that the Americans have the better team?
You know, I spent a couple of minutes today taking a hard look, and I agree with you. It's the four rookies that sort of cause some unease here. Now, Cameron Young basically grew up playing Bethpage and has played it brilliantly for a long time, and he is a pure putter. So you think, well, there, you know, he may be a rookie, but not really, since he's so familiar with the course. But the other guys, you know, JJ, just worry, even though he's won the U.S. Open, you worry that Ryder Cup tension is going to be so much tougher for him. Same with Russell, same with Ben. We'll just see how it all goes. And the Euros.
At least, let me stop you there, right?
Yeah,
Russell. Russell was at least an elite am, right? Didn't he? He played Walker Cup, I thought, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did.
But the other ones, I don't think were. Cam might have, but like, I definitely don't think Ben and I mean, JJ was kind of an under-recruited guy.
Yeah, he sure was. And, you know, Ben really struggled in his first couple of years on professional tours and quit the game in disgust a few years ago.
Selling insurance,
so
right?
Oh, yeah, selling insurance. And only his dad, persuaded him to pull the clubs out of the garage. So good for Ben Griffin's father. And we'll see how all of that goes. But, you know, he's a Carolina guy. I think of Davis Love III's description of the pressure he felt on the first tee of the Ryder Cup, begging his foursomes partner Tom Kite to hit the first tee ball because his knees were shaking so bad. That's the sort of pressure that these guys are going to be under, and we'll see how they hold up over 3 days.
I mean, just think about, like, the shot Calcavecchia hit at Kiowa on 17. Like he hit a shot that you and I could have done better than.
It just speaks to the
pressure.
Three iron that I know well.
Yeah.
Three iron that barely.
Well, we would have been hitting hybrid, let's be real, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Plus, we wouldn't have been playing from the back tees.
Correct.
The point is, he hit a double-digit hacker, that's me, shot. And that's the pressure of Ryder Cup. And he had, what, a five-hole lead on Colin Montgomery, right?
Yep.
And he ended up having the match and very nearly cost the U.S. The war by the shore, which is really the moment that really made the modern Ryder Cup.
No, it's one of my favorite Faraday lines. I helped us lose. That was his only Ryder Cup appearance. All right, quickly before I let you go, who wins and why?
I think the key is the Euros only have to get to 14 points to retain the cup. The U.S. have to win 14.5. It sounds so small, Jeff, but you and I know how big that half point is going to be in Sunday singles matches. I give the Euros a slight edge.
Tim, we really appreciate your time, my man. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks so much, bud.
Timothy Gay, again, the book is Rory Land, available now. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, George, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. According to Page Six, if you and the rest of the world saw a couple having an affair on Coldplay's Jumbotron, shame on you. Because according to a source, the ex-astronomer CEO Andy Byron and Kristen Cabot were, quote, just friends. Quote, Christy and Andy had an excellent working relationship, a great friendship. There was no affair. It was inappropriate to be hugging your boss at a concert, and she accepts full responsibility for that. But the scandal, the downfall, the loss of the job, all of that is unfair. George, I don't know about you, but I can think about all those times that I've just been hugging from behind all of my friends at a Coldplay concert.
As someone who's never been to a Coldplay concert, mm-hmm. I can only imagine. I've never been there.
When in Rome, it's what everyone does. My thanks to Coach Hurd for joining the program, as well as Jason Munns and Timothy Gay. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.